listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, go to www.nakedbibleblog.com.
Welcome back to the Naked Bible Podcast. We're still in the early stages of a series on Bible study. We began the series talking about how essential it is to interpret the Bible in its own context, that context being the world of the ancient Near East with respect to the Old Testament, and the Second Temple period with respect to the New Testament. Interpreting the Bible in these contexts means thinking like a person living at these times, in these places. The best way to do that is to immerse yourself in the worldview of the civilizations of these eras with which the biblical writers had regular contact. And the best way to become familiar with how these people thought, and therefore how the biblical writers thought, either in agreement or in divergence from their neighbors, is to read the intellectual output of these other cultures. That means getting into their written sources. The last episode of the podcast dealt with the need to tap into the written material of the ancient Near East, since that is the context for the Old Testament. In this episode, we'll turn attention to the New Testament context, the Second Temple period. As in the last episode, I'll introduce you to print and online sources for reading those texts in English translation. Now, as we begin, we should be clear on some terminology and exactly what literature we're talking about. The Second Temple period refers to the period in Israel's history right after the nation returned from exile in Babylon and built a new temple in Jerusalem. The first temple was, of course, Solomon's temple, and that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon in 586 BC. Israel was allowed to return to her homeland in 539 BC. Shortly thereafter, work began on building a new temple, the Second Temple. That temple was completed in 516 BC, and it stood until 70 AD when the Roman Emperor Titus destroyed it. The Second Temple period, therefore, technically runs from 516 BC to 70 AD. However, most scholars use the term a bit more broadly, of the time period encompassing the 6th century BC through the 1st century AD. Now, only a handful of biblical books were written during this period. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther are the obvious ones, but not the only ones. Many scholars would also assign parts of Isaiah, Zechariah, and Daniel to this period as well. But typically, when scholars talk about Second Temple Jewish literature, they aren't talking about biblical books. They are talking about non-biblical Jewish religious texts written during this time period, books that today we group into collections with labels like Apocrypha and the Pseudepigrapha. Now, the former term, the Apocrypha, contains books like 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Tobit, the Wisdom of Sirach, additions to the Book of Daniel, and the Prayer of Manasseh. Outside academia, Apocrypha, though, is a term used by Protestants, as Protestants don't consider any of these books canonical or inspired as sacred texts. The Roman Catholic Church, on the other hand, considers some of them as canonical along with the books of the Protestant Bible. These books are referred to by Catholics as deuterocanonical to reflect that belief. The latter term, pseudepigrapha, is a collection created by scholars of books not found in the Bible or in the Apocrypha, into which other books of the Second Temple period are placed. Perhaps the most familiar of the pseudepigrapha would be the Book of First Enoch, although books like Jubilees and the Letter of Aristeas and Joseph and Asenath might be familiar as well. Now, pseudepigrapha does not mean false writings. You'll often see that. Many of these books were influential within the believing Jewish and Christian communities when you get into the first century, including some New Testament writers, despite the fact that they were not considered inspired or canonical. The term really refers to the fact that the names on these books, for example, 1st Enoch, do not reflect their true authorship. So in other words, 1st Enoch was not written by Enoch. There's no evidence to suggest that. Aside from the Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha, Second Temple Jewish literature also encompasses the Dead Sea Scrolls and the writings of Flavius Josephus and Philo of Alexandria, both very important writers for serious Jews during the Second Temple period. So where can the English reader find good translations of all this literature? Well, we'll start with print books for each category and then move on to websites. Of course, print books means you have to pay for the content, and the websites you don't. But there are some downsides with websites as well. So let's start with Old Testament Apocrypha, again called Deuterocanonicals by the Roman Catholic Church. We mentioned a few of these books, the books of Maccabees, Tobit, Wisdom of Solomon, Wisdom of Sirach, so on and so forth. In hard copy, and some of these, I'll tell you right away, are also found in digital version through software, I'll give you a few recommendations of translations in English that I think are of good quality. And don't forget, just like the last episode, you can find all of these titles with links to where you can obtain them on the Naked Bible Podcast website. You just go up to www.nakedbiblepodcast.com and then look for the tab that says Bibliography and Resources, and you'll see the links there. So, Old Testament Apocrypha. If you just want a simple English translation of the Apocrypha, there are two that are commonly used today. One is the King James Version of the Apocrypha. And again, it's just the books of the Apocrypha that were included in the King James Version translation in 1611 or thereabouts. Now, that might surprise some of you that weren't aware that the King James translation included books of the Apocrypha, but it did. And you can buy certain editions of the King James and get those, or you can buy just the Apocryphal books in one volume, one small volume. Another resource would be the NRSV. Now, the NRSV translation also included the books of the Apocrypha. And again, on the Naked Bible Podcast website, I have a link to the NRSV annotated edition of the Apocrypha. So the Apocrypha is pretty easy to find in print. Or, again, these works are going to be available in digital form through Logos Bible software. There's also an edition by R.H. Charles. He has a two-volume set. One volume is the Apocrypha. The second volume is the Pseudepigrapha. And Charles' work is more recent than the King James, obviously, because the King James is very old. Charles would have been writing in the early 1900s, but it's not as recent as the NRSV. But the Charles edition you will often see referenced. And in fact, if you get the electronic version from Logos, you can also get Charles' commentaries on these books, Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha, and some notes and things like that in digital form. But you should be aware, and again, I have it linked on the podcast website, that you can get Charles's edition, volume one of his two-volume set of the Apocrypha by itself. Now, I should mention the New Testament Apocrypha. To be honest, this isn't really pertinent to the biblical context because the New Testament Apocrypha were books that were written in the early Christian era. So it's a little bit beyond the context of the New Testament itself. But some people might be thinking of Apocrypha with respect to New Testament books. And what I mean by that is you'll get New Testament Apocrypha works that would be like other Gospels. Now, these are not the Nag Hammadi Coptic, the Gnostic Gospels, but you have other Gospels. You have other lost books that were considered heretical. You have different versions of the Passion called Passion Gospels. You have secondary Book of Acts. You've got Epistles of Peter. You've got a whole body of literature that bears some relationship, usually just the name, to New Testament characters or New Testament events. And then, again, whole books were written about that. So there are New Testament Apocrypha. Probably the cheapest and best one-volume edition is that of M.R. James, the Apocryphal New Testament. However, And that is available, I should mention, that's available in digital form through Logos as well. However, the scholarly reference edition for New Testament Apocrypha is the two-volume set by Schneemelcher. Again, two volumes, they're expensive. They're each around $45 or $50, but they are pretty exhaustive. They're excellent if you really want basically anything that would conceivably be lumped into the category of New Testament Apocrypha. If you want those works, this is the set to have. So two volumes by Schneemelcher. Moving on to the Pseudepigrapha, you can get an edition of the Pseudepigrapha, as I mentioned a few moments ago, through R.H. Charles. Again, Charles had a two-volume companion set. One was Apocrypha, the other was Pseudepigrapha. You can buy them separately, or you can buy them as a set. So Charles has an edition of the Apocrypha. Probably the go-to resource when it comes to Pseudepigrapha is the two-volume set by James H. Charlesworth. Now, distinguish the names. Charles and Charlesworth are two different people in two different sets. So Charlesworth's two-volume set was published by Doubleday. It's now, I believe, under the Yale, Anchor Yale label. But this is the major academic resource for Pseudepigrapha in English translation. These two volumes also contain fairly detailed introductions and textual histories of all of the books of the Pseudepigrapha. So they're, if you're at all interested in the Pseudepigrapha, these are very, very much worth having. And both Charles' work, Charles' collection of the Pseudepigrapha, and Charlesworth's two-volume set are available in digital form from Logos. Now let's move to the Dead Sea Scrolls, and right away we need to distinguish the scrolls. There are basically two kinds of Dead Sea Scrolls. Biblical Dead Sea Scrolls, which would be material from the Hebrew Bible found at Qumran, in other words, copies, different textual traditions of the Hebrew Bible itself. Those are the biblical scrolls. And then there are non-biblical scrolls, other books, okay, that were found at Qumran. And frankly, most of the Dead Sea Scroll material is non-biblical. So when people usually talk about the Dead Sea Scrolls, they're usually not talking about the manuscripts that are related to the textual history of the Hebrew Bible. They're usually talking about documents that the Qumran community themselves wrote, or other books, for instance, fragments of First Enoch found among the Dead Sea Scrolls. Other books that had a circulation within Judaism that were kept, copied and kept at Qumran, the place where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. So, with respect to the non-biblical Dead Sea Scrolls, there are some good English translations, good English editions of these. The one I would recommend most is that by Wise, Abeg, and Cook, three editors. Make sure if you select this resource, get the most recent edition. There was just a new edition that came out. So Wise, Abeg, and Cook, their translation. There's another often frequently used set of English translations by Geza Worms, and you spell his last name V-E-R-M-E-S. His edition is widely available and widely used as well. Then there's another English translation by Garcia Martinez, and I've put this in here mainly because of the digital edition. Now, the other two, the one by Wise, Abeg, and Cook, you can get that in digital form through Logos. You can get Worms' edition through Logos, but it's quite expensive because of the publisher. And Garcia Martinez's comes in a two-volume digital set. This is just the digital now that I'm talking about, the two volumes. If you want just the English translation, you can get that in print in one volume. But if you go digital, you can get these, the Qumran texts in English, in a product called the Dead Sea Scrolls Study Edition. You get the English translation and you get the Hebrew text with notes. So that's a very nice handy set to have because you get both languages there. Now, as far as the biblical scrolls, I'm going to recommend one work, and that is something called the Dead Sea Scrolls Bible. Again, this is a little bit peripheral to capturing the context of the New Testament since it's just biblical material, but I'm going to mention it anyway. The Dead Sea Scrolls Bible, edited by Abeg, Flint, and Ulrich. This is a collection and an English translation of all the biblical scrolls so that once they're translated into English, this is the oldest known Old Testament translated into English. And the way they have it set up is when you're looking at the translation, you'll be able to tell by verse reference what portions of your Old Testament were in the Dead Sea Scrolls and then portions that were not found there. Because the manuscripts found at Qumran of the Hebrew Bible are incomplete because they were just in a state of decay or disrepair, or they were fragmentary for some other reason. They're thousands of years old, so it's not all going to be intact. But the edition does a nice job of showing you visually what was there, and then you can tell what wasn't there as far as the discovery. So the Dead Sea Scrolls Bible, if you want a Dead Sea Scrolls English Old Testament, that is the volume to get. And that's also available in digital form. Now, moving on to Josephus. Josephus really is known for four works. One is called The Jewish War. It's an account of the war of the Jews against the Romans. His other major work was called The Jewish Antiquities. It's a 20-volume set. It's a historiographical work. It's the history of Jewish people from Adam to the Jewish war with Rome. His third work was called The Life, and that's an autobiography. And then lastly, there's something called Against Appian, which was Josephus's refutation of anti-Semitic writings circulating during his time, or roughly contemporaneous with him. Now, all of these volumes, all of these works, the four works and all their volumes are available in English translation. The Whiston edition, if you get this in print, get the newest edition, is available. It's a full English translation of all the works of Josephus. This is available in digital form as well from Logos. Paul Meyer has a translation of the works of Josephus. You spell his last name M-A-I-E-R. That is not available in digital form, but it's a recent collection and translation of Josephus. Philo, let's talk about Philo before we go to websites. Again, Philo was an important Jewish theological, religious, and philosophical writer during the first century. I have a quote here from a Philo scholar and a Targumic scholar as well, really a rabbinics as well. Martin McNamara says, quote, "Philo's chief interest is in the allegorical interpretation of the scriptures." It's kind of what he's known for. The titles of his works show that his thoughts centered around or flowed from the sacred text. However, he can be studied as both a philosopher and an exegete. Central to his teaching on God's relationship to the world is his doctrine of the Logos. The term itself occurs repeatedly in his works, but is never actually defined, unquote. Again, the Logos is a New Testament concept that we know from the Gospel of John, where he refers to Jesus as the Logos. And so that's one of the main reasons Philo draws a lot of attention, this sort of intermediary being speaking as and writing as a Jew who was a monotheist, but Philo's idea of the Logos is pretty important. So Philo wrote a lot of other things too. He has a book on the giants, the giant lore, that sort of thing. He has a very wide range of interest and works, and you can get the works of Philo, the edition by Yonge, that's Y-O-N-G-E, which was updated by David Scholer, S-C-H-O-L-E-R. You can get that on Amazon, and that's available as well through Logos. So there's a nice edition in English of the works of Philo, the complete works. Now let's move to websites in the time we have remaining. These are free, of course, but the problem with websites is that they're sometimes incomplete. You don't always get all the books. And these translations are dated. They're usually from old public domain sources. And public domain is anything before, I think, currently 1927. So they're not recent. They don't incorporate recent scholarship into them. But for their day, they were very good sources. So as far as the Old Testament Apocrypha, you could go to the Sacred Texts Archive. They have a little section for Old Testament Apocrypha books. Something called the non-canonical homepage. And again, these are all on the Naked Bible Podcast website, ready for you to click on the links and go there. But the non-canonical homepage. Then there's another site called apocrypha.org that has links to Apocrypha books in English translation. Also, pseudepigrapha.com. Now, this site, which you would think is about the pseudepigrapha, and it is, but it's about more than the pseudepigrapha. If you go to pseudepigrapha.com, you'll also find links to the Apocrypha there. And with respect to the pseudepigrapha, naturally, you'd go to pseudepigrapha.com. You could also go to the Sacred Text Archive, but if you go to the Sacred Text Archive link, you should note that that site labels the books of the pseudepigrapha as quote-unquote other apocrypha, so it's a little confusing. The non-canonical homepage has a page dedicated with links to all the books of the pseudepigrapha in English, so you could go to the non-canonical homepage. And for New Testament Apocrypha, you would go to a site called Early Christian Writings. And pseudepigrapha.com also has links to some New Testament apocryphal books. The works of Philo can be found on the Early Jewish Writings website, as is the case for all the works of Josephus, the Early Jewish Writings website. And again, just go up to www.nakedbiblepodcast.com. All these things are already linked for you so that you can get there quickly and start reading. Well, I hope this is helpful to be exposed to these resources. In the next episode of the podcast, what I'm going to do is go back to the Old Testament and start recommending books that are written by scholars for interested non-specialists that really distill and digest and order in a systematic way the content of the literature of the ancient Near East, in the Old Testament's case, and of course when we get to New Testament, of the Second Temple period. There are lots of books out there that are excellent for helping you understand this body of ancient literature. Now, I still recommend that you read a lot of it yourself, but there are books out there that really organize information well into very specific topics, where you can find good essays on what Josephus thought about a given topic, or what the Egyptians thought about the afterlife, or Mesopotamian cosmology. There's all sorts of things that you can read so that you can begin, again, to think like a person who lived during these periods. And then we're going to talk about taking that back to the Bible to gain clarity and understanding of the Bible itself in its own context.
Thanks for listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, visit www.nakedbibleblog.com. To learn more about Dr. Heiser's other websites and blogs, go to www.drmsh.com.